Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Line, like I said, of the Inside Shot Substack of Locked On Cavs as well, right here at 92.3 The Fan. Danny Cunningham joins us now. Danny, what's going on?
Not much. How are you doing tonight, Jake?
We're doing pretty good. Show's been flowing along, so we're feeling really good. Danny, I posed this question at the beginning of the show. I threw it out to Dan Lobby earlier on. We're a fantasy football guy, yes or no?
I am not. I don't have the bandwidth to keep up with it. I don't care enough, quite frankly, about individual performance on Sunday. So I have not played fantasy football in, gosh, it's got to be over 5 years at this point, probably closer to 10.
See, Danny, this is fun because now I wouldn't consider myself like a massive fantasy football person, but I enjoy it. And I play in a couple of dynasty leagues. And I think that you would have been the perfect person for this question because I feel like bring Danny Cunningham into a fantasy football league and trash talk starts, whether it's not it's warranted or not. I feel like you'd be a great trash talker right out of the gate.
I would like to think I'd be able to do that well. I just not confident my team would be able to back up the words that I could create to come out of my mouth.
Yeah, I was playing Dynasty, and somebody basically threw out the idea. I had joined a league after it already started a year, and I was blowing up my team. And I like to talk a little trash. I think that's the fun part of fantasy sports in general. The league did not receive it well. A couple of the people in the league were not very happy with me. I don't know where we went wrong. I thought that was the fun.
It's always tough being the new guy. It's always tough being the new guy, and if that's the first impression in the league, that can be a tough thing.
And you know what, Danny? I'm not backing down. I'm sticking to it. I'll be that guy. I'm all for it.
As you should.
All right, Danny, as we go through and we look at the Cavs and sort of, again, we know the swirling trade rumors and everything else. The big thing that's popped up recently is the possibility of trading Evan Mobley directly for Giannis. Debunk or validify all of the thoughts in the fans' heads.
I would be stunned if that happened. I think in a vacuum, if you look at this and just say, hey, we could trade Evan Mobley, this guy who is on the rise, this guy who I personally think is going to be a future first team All-NBA player, for Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's a multiple-time MVP. I believe he's won two MVPs. He's an NBA champion. He is firmly regarded as one of the three best players in basketball. Of course you say yes. However, it's not that easy. I think Milwaukee would want more than just Evan Mobley. I think they would prefer to get some draft picks back. Well, the Cavs can't exactly do that considering almost all of their draft assets are property of the Utah Jazz or now property of the Phoenix Suns that Utah has sent to Phoenix because they think the Cavs are going to be really good when that deal comes due. And you would also have to trade quite a few other pieces off the Cavs because of the financial area the Cavs are in right now, where they are a second apron team, they cannot aggregate salaries in a trade. So like, for instance, if they are trading Evan Mobley for Giannis, the only way they can include other guys in that deal is if the result of that deal puts them below the second apron. So that means they would really have to cut, I believe, around $10 million. Like, they would have to be worth $10 million less in terms of their salary cap at the conclusion of that deal. And then they're hard capped at the second apron, meaning that they really have to cut more because they have to fill out a roster. So it's just a very, very unrealistic thing that you, like, in a vacuum, sure. But I just think this is a very unrealistic scenario that is not going to happen this summer.
So with that being said, obviously, is there still a name out there that you think, with the Cavs trying to navigate the cap, that everyone would look around and consider a splash this offseason for the Cavs? Or is that just entirely off the table with the second apron and all of the difficulties that come with it?
I think it depends what you consider a splash, right? And, like, I'm hesitant to throw out names just because the offseason isn't here yet. Like, there are still four teams playing, and there, I think, are a lot of teams that are still, that haven't figured out what their offseason plans are. So, like, I don't want to do that because I know how that works. But I do think it depends what you consider a splash. Like, are the Cavs going to trade for somebody the same caliber of Donovan Mitchell that they did a few years back when they made that deal in September? No, that type of thing is not in their, like, that's not in the future. That's not in the summer plans. Are there things that they could do to reimagine this team a little bit? Certainly, I think that is the case. I think that would be the wise path to go down. But again, we don't exactly know who's available. We don't exactly know what teams are going to choose, which directions to go in this summer. Like, it is still very early in this process. But I do think that it would make sense, if you are the Cavs, if you are Kobe Altman, to try and reimagine this roster a little bit. They've had three cracks at the playoffs, this core group has. And they have, I think, in some senses, kind of underperformed every time. Like, every time I've been on this station, I've talked about last year against Boston, how they were not ever going to win that series. And they weren't. But they probably should not have needed seven games to get past Orlando either. Like, you can look at that and say, yeah, the result was good, but the process wasn't as good as it should have been. This year, they grossly underachieved. Their first year in the playoffs, they lost in five games in a series they were favored in. They underachieved in that one. So I do think that reimagining the roster is probably the direction that I would choose to go.
Danny Cunningham with us on the hotline. Danny, I know you've thrown out, I'm not mistaken, right? You're Jared Allen, trade Jared Allen over Darius Garland in a just very simple way of putting that.
Correct, yes.
Okay, so if either of those guys, I think as we look at both of them, Darius and Jared Allen, how much of the value do you think on those two guys has changed, even from just looking at last year and the product they put out into this year and the way that other teams would view them?
I think that the value for both of them is higher, right? I thought both of them had very good seasons. Obviously, once Darius started dealing with injuries, like, his numbers from really the end of February on aren't great, and I think that's when he started dealing with injuries, right? You think back to, he got hurt against the New York Knicks the second game after the All-Star break, and his shooting numbers, the scoring numbers, everything is down from that point on compared to what it was that point and from the start of the season until that point. But I still think that his value is greater. I think that Jared Allen had an awesome regular season. I thought that he was really, really terrific for most of the regular season. I just don't know that he is a guy that is going to help you win a title, but that doesn't mean he's not an awesome role player. So I do think that what those guys, and especially considering what the conversation was around each of those players a year ago right now, right? Like, Darius Garland had a nightmare of a season last year, had the fractured jaw, had some other injury issues, had some off the court stuff. And it just really, really, I think, weighed him down, and he was never himself. Jared Allen spent this year trying to kind of rebuild his reputation after missing so much of the playoffs with that rib injury, which, again, not entirely fair to him, but I think that he kind of needed to have a season like this one to not only put that in the rear view, but also kind of, you know, the lights are too bright comment that he made after the series against the Knicks. I think that's always going to be something that might stick with him, but I think that he had such a good regular season that he should have value. Like, if you are a team out there, Jared Allen should be somebody that is enticing to you if he is made available by the Cavs.
If you go through it, obviously, look at it, what was a disappointing playoffs, probably as a whole from both of those players, at least a disappointing second series. How much do you think that plays into teams being interested and being willing to give up more?
I think that when July rolls around and teams are really able to start doing this type of stuff, it's probably a little bit different than it is right now. Like, it's just so fresh right now, Jake, that I do think it's hard to look at these things without having a recency bias, right? And like with Darius, man, he was very clearly hurt. He was playing through a lot with that foot injury. If you watch those games and
listen up, football fans, you won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And, like, I don't think the Cavs did him favors by listing him as questionable when he wasn't going to play. But, like, if you watched Game 3, Game 4, Game 5, he looked like a guy that could barely move out there. And I just think that that's the type of thing that shouldn't be held against him. And I do think that Indiana is a bad matchup for Jarrett Allen particularly, but I also think that it's inexcusable the lack of rebounding he was able to accomplish, particularly in games 4 and 5. And I thought in both those games, it wasn't just the rebounding. I didn't think he was particularly good at much of anything that he did. So I do think that, you know, those things matter, but it's not the be all end all. Like, I think that when you look at these guys, you have to look at more than just the, oh, they had a bad 3-game sample size, so they're not worth anything anymore. Like, I just don't, I think that is pushing things too far in the other direction too.
Looking at another different part of the roster, I think a lot of people probably would have looked at Ty Jerome at the end of the regular season and said that they would have loved to do just about anything to get him back. Is he still sort of a must-sign player in your eyes, or has that changed given the way that the Cavs have played and what it looks like when he's forced to be on the floor a little bit more?
I think he's a luxury as opposed to a must-sign player. I just think that when you have, especially if Darius Garland is back, which I would expect him to be, when you have Darius Garland, when you have Donovan Mitchell, having somebody like Ty Jerome is great. Like, that was a big reason why the Cavs were as good as they were, was because of what he was able to provide. But I also don't know that if you can call a third guard a necessity, right? Especially when you have so many other offensive options. And when you look at, like, if you pull up the Cavs basketball reference page, Ty Jerome, I believe, finished 10th in minutes per game. Now, that's a little bit skewed because Caris LeVert counts towards that, George Yang counts towards that. Obviously, those guys did not finish the season in Cleveland. But we're also talking about the guy that, yeah, like, he had a great season. He finished in third, I believe, in 6-man of the year voting, but he also played like less than 20 minutes a game. So I don't know that you can call somebody like that a necessity. I think he's a luxury. I think he's a very good player. I think if he has a bigger role next season somewhere else, or even potentially here than he did this year, he will do well. I don't think that this one postseason series is necessarily a look into his future by any stretch of the imagination. I think he had a bad 5 games. And I think that happens, and it happened at a bad time for him. But I wouldn't call him a necessity. I think he's a luxury. I do think the Cavs would like to keep him. I think that they have reason to be confident that they can retain him. But ultimately, I don't think that whether or not they bring back Ty Jerome is going to decide if they win the title next year.
Danny Cunningham with us on the hotline. Danny, I'm going to shoot from the hip, okay? So you have full rein to call me a moron and hate this idea from top to bottom. It was one that we played out off air the other day, and I thought was at least interesting enough to bring to the table for you. Is Russell Westbrook somebody that you would even remotely consider as a guard that would bring physicality and would likely be on the cheap? He'd have to take his player option, not accept his player option with Denver and hit free agency, which his player option is like $3 million.
He is not somebody that I consider, because I think that the Cavs need to, especially if the Cavs run it back, like they still need to surround the bigs with shooting, and Russ does not provide that at all. Like, he's a good corner 3-point shooter and that's kind of it. But I also think he needs the ball in his hands a lot in order to sometimes be successful. And I think that he is very much, I mean, he's such an up and down player, and he's so far away from what he was when he was an MVP with OKC a few years back, but I would not consider that. He's kind of chaos on the floor, but it feels as if he's a 40-60 chaos player, if that makes sense. Like, 40% of the time it's good for you and 60% of the time it's bad for you. And I think that when you are competing for titles, that is not something that you necessarily want. Like, was Russell Westbrook the reason why the Denver Nuggets did not beat the Thunder? Of course not. But I don't know that Russell Westbrook exactly helped them to beat the Thunder. Like, does that make sense? I mean, that is just not something that, if I were Kobe Altman, that would not be something that I would be interested in.
No, that makes total sense. I'm just glad we got through that without you calling me a moron. So that was a good finish.
I'm nice, Jake.
Yeah, of course. Of course. No, you would never consider doing that, right, Danny? Never.
Exactly.
Other thing that we look at, Danny, across the NBA is we're into the conference finals. The Indiana Pacers did what was the unthinkable for a third time this postseason, and like down by 14 with under 3 minutes to play. Once again, it created a comeback, and there was you can go down lower in the time and probably create something that makes even more wild sense in your mind. Should that make Cavs fans feel any better about Game 2 and some of the leads that they blew, that now the Pacers have done it to every single team that they've played in the playoffs?
I don't know if it makes you feel better as a Cavs fan, right? Like, I don't think that erases the pain that you felt when Tyrese Halliburton's three-pointer hit the bottom of the net in Game 2 inside Rocket Arena, but it was kind of like a, see, it's not just us type of moment, if that makes sense. It's not just the Cavs. The Pacers have done this to everybody now that they've played. It is remarkable that they're able to just keep doing this. And I was, you know, watching last night, and I don't remember which, I think it was the three that Aaron Nesmith hit kind of on the right wing, and it made it like a 6-point game with 30 seconds left. It's like, the Pacers are going to win this game, because that's what the Pacers do. The Kenny Atkinson and the Cavs, they talked about during the Miami series, you know, Miami is going to play for a full 48 minutes. And that was kind of evident in Game 2 of that series, in which the Cavs had a big lead and the Heat came back and cut it to 2. But that was really the Miami Heat were done playing basketball after that. The Indiana Pacers embody that. Like, you have to play them until the clock says 0 all the way across. And then even then, you might need to play them for 5 more minutes, as the New York Knicks did last night. So it is something that it's incredible what they're able to continue pulling off. Like, it's what they did against New York last night, I thought made the Game 2 win they had against the Cavs look like a routine win. Like, that was just so far and away more improbable than the one against the Cavs. And it does make it feel maybe a little bit better for your Cavs fans. It's just like, hey, sometimes there are teams that are teams of destiny. And right now, I think it's really difficult, Jake, to not feel that way about the Indiana Pacers.
Yeah, it feels like everything they do, it somehow works out. And they shouldn't be making the runs they are. With that being said, Danny, as you look at these two teams, either the Knicks or the Pacers, and I think if we're calling the Pacers a team of destiny, we probably know where you stand on that. Either of them capable of taking down either of these Western Conference teams in a finals, do you think?
I think that the Pacers would be capable of beating either of the teams out West. I would not pick them. And I did pick the Pacers to win this series. I think I picked them in 5 games, and I picked the Thunder to win the series out West, and I feel pretty good about that. I do think that the Pacers are capable of beating OKC. I would not pick them to do so. I just think that what OKC does defensively can give Indiana some real problems. But the Pacers play such a unique and distinct style of basketball, and they play with so much force, and they do such a great job of dictating the way the game is played. And if you're not beating them by 30 with 2 minutes left, the game isn't over. So, like, I do think that all of those things matter. It's not some impossible task for them, but right now I would pick OKC to win the finals. I feel pretty good about that. But if they don't, I think Indiana is the next most likely team.
Danny, as always, appreciate you sitting through about 20 minutes worth of my moronic questions. And hopefully looking forward to talking to you soon here as the Cavs offseason and the NBA season continues to wrap up. And then we really get under control of what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. You got it, man. Thanks for having me.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.